The very idea of the power and the right of the people to establish government presupposes the duty of every individual to obey the established government.
Mr. President, starring Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Edward Arnold and written by Gene Holloway. Mr. President, at home in the White House, the elected leader of our people, our fellow citizen and neighbor. These are little-known stories of the men who have lived in the White House. Dramatic, exciting events in their lives that you and I so rarely hear. True human stories of Mr. President.
Before we bring you Edward Arnold as Mr. President, I want to point out that there are no more stirring stories in the world than the stories of Americans who have become the leaders of our country. Generation after generation of American men and women have found their greatest inspiration in the lives of the presidents of the United States. Their deeds are direction pointers for the American mind. People today are more interested than ever to know the intimate, interesting, and inspiring facts about the lives of their former chief executives. That's why Mr. President has rapidly caught the attention of people everywhere. For here is the program that presents human incidents in the careers of our presidents, woven into the rich tapestry that is the American heritage. And you, as the listener, enjoy the additional thrill of trying to identify the president in the story being told. And now, see if you can name the president upon whom this episode is based.
Listen to this story and see if you can identify this general who was much pursued with office of the presidency. The war was over, and the general was going home. He was tired, and he was looking forward for a long rest on his own quiet, beautiful acres. The troops that followed him were tired, too. Their tempers were short, and their minds were suspicious. There were all sorts of dangerous undercurrents.
There is something I must tell you, General.
Yes, Colonel Nicola.
There is dissension brewing in the ranks. The men feel that the states intend to disband them without ever paying them for the time they've served.
I'm sure that no man who has risked his life for his country will find this country ungrateful, Colonel.
Are you indeed, General? Well, I'm afraid the men in the ranks and the officers don't have your faith.
Then perhaps they'll take my word.
I think they will. In fact, General, I think the way the army feels about you, they'd set you up as king in this country if you'd let them.
Colonel Nicola, if you have any regard for your country, concern for yourself, or respect for me, forget that you ever said or even entertained a thought like that for a moment.
I consider it the highest kind of compliment, sir.
Colonel Nicola, our fathers came to this country to get away from kings, not to set them up.
Forgive me, General. Believe me, I had no wish to offend you.
I understand, Colonel. And I understand, too, the motives that brought you here. But what you ask is in such complete opposition to all my beliefs that it is very hard for me to listen civilly.
I consider myself a good patriot too, General.
You are. You are. But don't lose sight of the reasons why we fought this war. When you're as tired as we are, sometimes it's hard to remember.
What are your plans for the future, sir?
I am retiring completely from public life.
Oh, surely not.
I have given enough years now. They said they needed me, and I was glad to come and lead the armies and do what I could. But now the war has ended, I'm going home. I haven't too many years left, and I think I've earned the right to live them as I will. I want peace, Colonel. Peace and silence and tranquility. And I know just where to go to get them.
Oh, my dear, it's so good to have you home.
I was afraid you'd change, but you're lovelier than ever.
Darling.
You know, I'm going to stay right here in the country with you all the rest of my life. This is the way a man should live, in peace and serenity beside the woman he loves. By the way, didn't you say there were a lot of presents for me?
Oh, I should say so.
Well, let's see them.
Which one?
All of them.
Well, that will take quite a bit of walking.
What do you mean?
Well, there are hundreds of books from all over the world.
Oh.
Those are piled up in the library. Then there are apple trees from the state of Maryland,
no.
Lime trees from New York, horse chestnut trees from Virginia.
Virginia, all right.
Oh, I'm just beginning. You've been sent pine and fir trees from New England, rum from Jamaica, pheasants and partridges from France, and you'll never be able to guess what the King of Spain sent you.
What?
He sent a keeper named Pedro Tellez, and in the charge of this keeper, he sent what he refers to as the most magnificent jackass of all Spain.
You mean the king came himself?
Oh, shame on you, no.
Well, let's go and look at the animal. Oh, my dear, it's going to be so wonderful to sit around and be lazy and have nothing to do. I'm through with wars. For the rest of my life, I'm going to enjoy this country that I've fought for.
Dear, I've heard all sorts of rumors. Even here, one hears rumors, you know.
What kind of rumors?
That you might be going to run for public office.
Well, not me. Not now. And not ever. Didn't you hear me say I had retired?
Oh, yes, dear. I certainly heard you. Oh, did I tell you Alex and Governor Morris were coming for dinner?
No, you did not. Why are they coming for dinner?
Well, they sent word that they had some important matters to discuss with
you. They're wasting their time.
I know, dear. Come on, let's go look at the King of Spain before they come.
It's not going to do them a bit of good. I'm not taking any further part in any public activities, and that's final. Alex, I have retired. There's no use talking to me about this. Talk to Congress. Congress must settle the problems of the country now.
Congress? That's a waste of time. And no one is more aware of it than you, General.
The men in the offices are meeting in secret right now. They want their pay, and they're determined to get it.
Of course they should get it. They're entitled to it.
If something isn't done, there are going to be insurrections in this country. After all, these men won the war, and they don't feel very good about being disregarded and ignored now that they've won it.
They're going to get their money, but it takes time for Congress to work things out. You know that.
General, Alex and I are here representing a large group of your officers from the war. They ask that you keep your position as their leader so that some sort of political reorganization can be forced on the states.
Are you suggesting that after fighting for this country, I now lead her own soldiers against us?
The soldiers are part of this country, too. There wouldn't be any country if it weren't for them. They feel now that the country has betrayed them. And they wonder why you have deserted them.
I haven't deserted them.
You're their leader, their commander-in-chief. The only explanation they can think of is that delicacy, carried to an extreme, prevents your following their interests with sufficient warmth. After all, they did follow you into battle.
I know that. I appreciate and love them for it. But don't they understand that they have fought for a government, and now they must show a little faith in it? I have heard murmurs of revolution, monarchy, militarism. None of those things will accomplish anything. And force won't accomplish what they want now.
Force is the only thing they know. And if you won't lead them, there are others who will. I have here a printed speech that was circulated among the officers today. It was written by Gates. He's saying that the officers should unite and demand their rights from Congress and the country. If you don't do something now, they may mean civil war. He's called a meeting for tomorrow.
Civil war? Well, I think we can handle that, Alex. I'll write a statement which you can take back with you, ordering the officers to meet on Saturday the 15th at noon.
Good for you, sir.
Under the chairmanship of Gates.
What? Under the chairmanship of Gates?
Of course. That will automatically cancel the meeting for tomorrow and give everybody a chance to calm down.
Why should Gates be chairman of your meeting?
Because if Gates is chairman, he will have to preside. And if he has to preside, he won't be able to talk or influence the officers. I'll have a talk with the officers. Men, you have fought gallantly for a young country in which you had faith. Now I beg of you, have faith a little longer. This is not the time for rebellions and insurrections. We have too much to lose. Wait. Wait, and I promise you I will plead your cause with Congress. Now I beg of you to act in such a manner that posterity will say of you, had this day been wanting, the world would never have seen the last stage of perfection to which the human nature is capable of attaining.
Men, I move we vote a unanimous vote of confidence in the general and in the Congress of the United States.
Hear, hear, hear.
What am I doing? I'm planning a treat.
Well, of course, I could see that. But you were attacking that ground so viciously, I thought maybe you were cutting someone up.
I am.
Who?
Congress.
I thought so.
They've got to pay the army. And the state governors have got to unite. There's got to be a strong central government. There's got to be a strong permanent army.
Be careful of that tree. They aren't very strong when they're that age, you know.
No, well, it's none of my concern. I've told them what I think, and I've gotten the men to calm down and wait for their decision. And if they don't do something about it, it's up to them. I'm finished with the
whole... I know, dear. You're finished with public life.
That's right. I'm going to settle down with my family and live in peace and quiet. Just being the head of a family is the most peaceful, wonderful thing in the world.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, dear, because a few problems have come up.
What problems?
Let's walk back toward the house and I'll tell you. First of all, you're going to have to visit your mother. She isn't at all well.
Oh, sorry.
I'm afraid you will have to leave for Fredericksburg in the morning.
Hmm?
Your nephew is ill with gallstones again.
Oh, my.
Your two nephews that have been in school in Georgetown have run up some debts. And the head of the school is expelling them and wants to see you at once.
Oh, my, oh, my.
There are 300 unanswered letters on your desk from people who want money and advice. Your sister's baby's ill.
Oh, where does a man go to find peace and quiet?
I don't know, darling. I really don't. Sometimes I think it's a lost cause with you.
Furthermore, I've got a toothache. Where's Congress, anyway?
Why, General.
Everyone expects me to know the answers to everything, and sometimes I don't know the answers to anything.
How would you like to be the leader of this whole country? The elected leader?
Now, don't you start on me.
Oh, I'm not starting anything. I just happened to hear some rumors. And I just wondered.
I have retired.
Yes, I noticed. That's why I wondered.
Alex, what brings you here at this hour of the night?
Well, General, as you know, there's going to be a meeting in Philadelphia to decide what to do about the affairs that concern us all today. Each state is to send delegates.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Had you thought about going?
Well, my state hasn't made any move to send me. And, Alex, I thought I had made it clear what my sentiments were about taking any further part in public activities.
General, don't you care what happens to this country?
Alex, you have no right to address me in a manner like that.
It's a question a lot of men who have had faith in you are beginning to ask.
Yes. Yes, I care what happens to this country. I cared enough to fight for it, which means that I cared enough to die. But I believe that others should come to the front now.
The people want you to preside over the convention, General. You have become the government to them. The central authority, the one clearly defined thing in a very confused period. This peace that you have won for us is a confused, uneasy thing. We need your help and guidance. More than anything, we need the power that your presence will give us.
No, I think you overestimate that.
No, I don't, General. And this is your fight, too. Tell me honestly, have you any faith in the present Congress?
No. No, quite honestly, I do not. I've certainly gotten nowhere with them. It looks to me as though they are growing more and more helpless.
If something isn't done and done quickly, we might as well never have fought the war. We need a leader, General. And you're the only one that everyone agrees can fill the position.
All right, Alex. I'll preside at Philadelphia.
Thank you, Mr. President.
What did you say?
I mean, thank you, General.
Now, Alex, I'm warning you. I have retired. I will preside at Philadelphia, but that is positively the last public act I'm going to become involved in.
Yes, General, of course. And thank you on behalf of the nation.
My, it's exciting coming to Philadelphia with a retired general.
We're just entering the city.
Are we inside the city now?
Yes.
Would you stop for a moment, please?
Yes.
Why did you stop the carriage?
Listen.
What are all those bells?
The bells of every church in Philadelphia are ringing.
Why?
To welcome you to the city.
To welcome me?
Yes, my dearest. Alex told me about it.
It's Philadelphia's tribute to the man they consider the greatest American of his time.
I shall remember and treasure this moment as long as I live. I only hope I can justify their insistence that I preside and be a worthy president.
Of the convention?
Yes, of course, of the convention. What did you think I was speaking of, huh?
Nothing, dear. It's only that I have heard rumors.
Now, see here, I have retired.
Yes, I know you have retired, dear. But there are rumors all the same.
They don't mean a thing.
All right, dear. They don't mean a thing.
Just a moment, we'll come back to Edward Arnold and Mr. President.
I think you'll agree that when it comes to beauty, a tree is hard to surpass. Yet many people out on camping trips and summer picnics fail to remember that. And through their carelessness, the beauty of our forests is often destroyed. Today, our timber and watershed lands are taking a terrific beating from forest fires. Yes, and 9 out of 10 forest fires are caused by people. And that means they are preventable. It only takes a moment's carelessness with matches or campfires to set fire loose in the forest. So everyone should memorize and follow these simple rules of forest fire prevention. Crush out cigarette, cigar, and pipe ashes. Break matches in two after using. Drown all campfires. And find out the law before using fire. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. And now back to Edward Arnold and Mr. President.
Have you guessed who the president was or when all this happened? It really did happen, you know. The general arrived in Philadelphia in May. The artillery officers stood at salute as he passed through the streets. On May the 25th, as soon as there was a quorum, the members unanimously elected the general president of the convention. And then the long, hot, sweltering days of heat and argument set in. From May to September, the general watched the painstaking theories argued and analyzed, polished and perfected and finally set down in neat, concise words. And at last, the words were all set down, and the document was ready.
Resolved that the preceding document be laid before the United States in Congress assembled, and that it is the opinion of this convention that it should afterwards be submitted to a convention of delegates, chosen in each state by the people thereof, under the recommendation of its legislature, for their assent and ratification.
It was ready. The long months, while perspiration dripped from famous brows and historic hens had slapped at horseflies and mosquitoes, had borne fruit. There was organization, there was potential power, there was promise, there was law. And now the general could sign his name with the others and go home. And that's just what he did.
Dear, what are you doing?
I'm sleeping. What are you doing?
I was looking for you. I couldn't imagine where you'd disappeared.
Well, I came down here to watch the servants scrape the carrots, and the next thing I knew, I was fast asleep.
Oh, my, it's certainly a hot day.
You know, I think maybe I'll go fishing tomorrow.
Oh, you can't.
I can't? Why not?
A committee's coming.
How do you know?
A message just came.
What are they coming for?
How would I know?
Well, you usually hear rumors.
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, I have heard a rumor.
I thought so.
The rumors are that they are going to make some sort of presentation.
Oh, dear. Well, there goes my fishing trip.
Well, never mind, love. You'll have plenty of time for fishing. Now that you've retired.
The trouble is, you know I've retired, and I know I've retired, but the people don't seem to know it.
Well, tomorrow's only one day. And I think it's very nice of people to come down here in this hot weather to give you a present.
Well, we'll see what it is.
General, on behalf of the Maryland Federalists, it is my pleasure to present you with this miniature ship, the Good Ship Federalist, which, although it is only 6 feet long, is an exact duplicate of a full-size vessel. We are going to anchor here in the river, where we hope it will be a symbol to you of the power and stability of the Federalist Party.
Thank you, gentlemen, thank you. This is truly a handsome present, and I promise you I shall look at it from my windows, and it shall indeed be a symbol to me of the power and stability of the Federalist Party.
Something terrible has happened. Don't stand there like that. Do something. Something terrible has happened.
What's happened? What's happened?
It's the storm. There was a stroke of lightning. The power and stability of the Federalist Party sunk in the river. Well, don't stand there laughing. Do something.
Well, what can I do, my dear? If it sunk, it sunk.
Now, who on earth is that at this hour?
Well, I only know of one way to find out. Governor O'Mara's come in, come in.
My goodness, you're drenched to the skin. Come over here by the fire and get those wet things on. Whatever brings you out on a night like this?
Isn't that a storm?
Yes, the good ship Federalist just sank.
It did? Oh, that's a shame.
I'm truly sorry. It was a beautiful model.
Well, Federalist Party certainly hasn't sunk. It's carrying the day every place in the country.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Sit down. I'll get you both something warm to drink.
Thank you. Well, General, I'm here in a completely non-official capacity, and I hope you will do me the courtesy of not mentioning my visit.
Of course.
You are to be visited next week by a delegation asking you to accept the presidential nomination.
I see. For 7 years I have repeatedly said...
Yes, for 7 years you have repeatedly refused to take any official position at the head of the nation except as a general of the armies. But, sir, the nation needs you desperately.
There are many men in this country far more qualified for the office of president than I.
That may be, sir. Whether that is true or not, there is no man who has both the qualifications and the popularity. If you are president, the army will be solidly behind you.
I've been quite sincere, you know. I don't want to be president. I want to stay here and enjoy the time that remains to me. I left my wife. I fought for many long, hard years. I feel that I've given the best that I have to give to my country. You ask me now to step in to become the head of this nation at a most difficult hour in its history. I feel it needs a younger man.
The people want you, General. And you seem to be the only one they will accept. If you refuse, I couldn't even begin to guess what might happen to this union.
Oh, now surely it isn't that serious.
I'm afraid it is.
Now, here's something to warm your bones.
My dear, there's a delegation coming to offer me the presidency.
Of course. Didn't you know it?
No, I didn't know it.
I have retired.
You can't retire as long as you're needed.
Well, thank you for coming to warn me anyhow.
I didn't come to warn you. I came to urge you to accept.
Now, I'll think it over and try to reach a decision before the committee arrives.
I was afraid if I didn't come like this, you'd refuse immediately.
I would have. And I still probably will. Please understand, I love this country. I love the land. I love the fruit of the land. I love the seasons. I said to my men over and over, the liberty you're fighting for and the liberty you win will live through all eternity. I said if we kindle the fires of freedom now, they will blaze as a symbol to mankind for centuries. I said, this is America. Die for it if you must, and live for it all the rest of your lives, if you are spared. We won the victory. We won the liberty.
But, my dear, winning it wasn't enough. They have to be shown what to do with it.
There are so many to show them. There are so many fine young statesmen who would make brilliant presidents.
But they have faith in you. They have chosen you. You led them to victory. They believe you can lead them out of this confusion now.
You want me to accept, don't you?
Yes. I think they are right.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. May God guide me and show me what to do.
General, it is my pleasure to inform you that you've been elected to the office of President of the United States by the unanimous choice of the electors.
time to start, my dear.
Yes, I know. I've been walking over the grounds, taking a last look.
Well, it's only for 4 years. You can retire again in 4 years.
I'm going to. And that time, no one is going to get me away from here again. Take a last look, my dear. A last beautiful look. A last look at peace and quiet and serenity.
I have. I'm quite looking forward to the journey, though. You can appreciate peace and serenity much more if you don't have it all the time.
Here, let me help you into the carriage, my dear.
Thank you, Mr. President. Oh, I heard a rumor that you'll be expected to serve at least 2 terms.
You and your rumors. Now, see here, after my first term, I'm going to retire.
I know. But my rumors usually do come true, though. Don't they, Mr. President?
Yes, they usually do. So I might as well make up my mind now to the fact that I won't get home to stay for 8 years. Oh, Madam President, will I ever get to retire? Will I ever get to retire? Well, you've probably figured out by now who the president was when all that happened. It really did happen, you know, and you'll have the answer in just a moment.
If you like the finest in music, you're sure to enjoy the Chautauqua Symphony, currently broadcasting a series of concerts over most of these same ABC stations every Sunday afternoon. The Chautauqua Symphony is made up of first-class musicians from various symphonic organizations throughout the nation. The broadcasts are presented from the Chautauqua Amphitheater in Chautauqua, New York. And it was in 1906 that symphony orchestra music was first introduced there by Walter Damrosch. Since then, the Chautauqua Symphony has developed into one of America's leading musical organizations. So, starting this afternoon, make it a Sunday afternoon date to join us for an hour and a quarter of fine music interpreted by the fine Chautauqua Symphony. And now, once again, Edward Arnold.
Place your hand on the Bible and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
Or affirm.
Or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States. So help me God.
Long live George Washington, the President of the United States.
Be with us again next week, won't you, for another exciting story that happened in Washington a few years ago to Mr. President. Goodbye.
Edward Arnold appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Any Number Can Play, starring Clark Gable, Alexis Smith, Wendell Corey, and Daudrey Tata. Mr. President was created by Robert G. Jennings. It was produced and directed by Dick Wolf. Today's story was based on incidents in the life of President George Washington.
Be sure to listen again next week when the American Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations bring you Edward Arnold with another interesting and factual story of Mr. President. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.